the pale blue sky washed with hot red behind it. Wheeled high overhead, the fire roared. Tavor Mandirli screamed as his fingers splintered, one defenseless bone at a time. A tall man, a thin man, dying for principle. Dying with courage, murdered by greed. His eyes were gouged from their sockets so he couldn't see his own blood. His tongue was cut out so there were no cries for help. No pitiful pleas for mercy. When they set him on fire, he wasn't yet dead. Obi-Wan, on his hands and knees, retched and retched. 19 years old he'd been when Mandirli died. Barely younger than Anakin. He'd wept like a youngling, and Qui-Gon did not reprove him. Exhausted, he collapsed on the cold dirt of Zagula, the memory so raw, like the fire beetles, like Qui-Gon and Anakin. The worst of his past dredged into the daylight, as fresh and as frightful as when it first happened. Kenobi. He dragged open his eyes and rolled his head to the side. "What was that?" said Bail Organa, standing a few paces distant. His face was stricken. "What the hell is going on?" Kenobi tried to speak, had to cough and spit again. Used the time to consider how best to reply. Did Organa need the details? No, he didn't. "It's still the Sith, I think," he croaked. "The dark side, using difficult memories against me. Bail, you must be careful. Beware negative emotions. This place will feed on them. It will glut itself and gorge on you until you die." "Obi-Wan, I'm fine. You're the one in trouble. Whatever this is, it's affecting your mind." His mind, his body, his bones were scouring thin. His blood was getting thicker, turgid with the dark. Aching, he sat up. "I'm fighting it." Instead of answering, Organa went back into the crashed ship. Obi-Wan braced his elbows on his knees and rested his head in his hands. On a deep breath, he reached within for the Force, reached for the light side, and instead drowned in the dark. A warm hand touched his back. Hey, it's all right. We'll figure this out. Obi-Wan gathered the shreds and tatters of his self-control, stared at the cloth and bottle of water Organa held out to him. "Your face is covered in dry blood," said the senator. "If you don't clean up, I'll be the one having nightmares." Obi-Wan touched his cheeks, his chin, felt the truth of Organa's words, took the cloth and bottle and washed his face, his beard, tried to wash the foul taste from his mouth, and couldn't. The dark side was a poison permeating his flesh.
Die, Jedi, die, Jedi, die, Jedi, die.
Dropping cloth and bottle, he clapped his hands to his ears, as if that could make a difference, as though the voice were not inside him. Its spiteful whispering continued. He let his hands fall away. Organa stepped back. You're not really going crazy, are you?" "Not if I can help it, believe me." "And can you?" said Organa. "Help it, I mean?" It was a fair question and deserved a fair answer. "What attacked me on the ship has fallen silent. This isn't so bad as that. It's not pleasant, but I can deal with it." "I hope," he thought. "Well, with luck, you won't have to deal with it for long," said Organa, pulling mini electro binoculars from his pocket. "Look." He gestured, then held them out. "Back there." Obi-Wan found his feet awkwardly, bereft of his customary Jedi ease. Then he took the binocs and stared behind them, across open rock and shadowed forest, to another distant plateau. Through the screening of trees, he caught a hint of weak sunlight reflecting off a flat black surface, a shape that was not natural, but had been crafted by design. He lowered the binocs. "The Sith Temple?" Organa nodded. "I think so. When the ship was going down, I thought I saw something. Thought I'd imagined it. But I didn't." His voice caught. "Not everything Alinta told us was a lie." Where there had been fear, now there was a thin thread of hope. We could find another ship there, Obi-Wan, or communications equipment. We could still get out of this. You just have to hold on.